We begin the current daf in Sefer Kedushin, daf in the base. We begin four lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues and concludes the discussion from the previous daf regarding Machlekes Abaye and Rava, regarding a case of Hamakadish with, if someone creates a Kedushin, She'en Masurin Labia, which cannot culminate, cannot be consummated with cohabitation. For example, let's say you engage one of two sisters and you don't know which one it is. So that Kedushin can never lead to Bia because it might be the Achay Sishta, which is a Chiyav Karas. So Abaye says it's still going to be a Kedushin, whereas Rava had said that it's not going to be a Kedushin and she's not engaged at all. And that the Gemara says, Toshma, let's prove conclusively the Tani Tavyumi. Tavyumi had brought a Braisa which will disprove Rava's opinion. The Braisa said, Lezeh Chamisha Banim, if this man had five sons, Ulezeh Chamish Banis, and this man had five daughters, V'amar, and one of the fathers said to the other one, Achas mibnoi sayach, one of your daughters, mukudashas la'achim mibanai, should be engaged to one of my sons. Which, as Rashi points out, obviously we must be talking about that these sons had appointed their father to be their agent to get them engaged. Because the father has rights over his daughter, which is this other father, other mechotin, but not a father over his sons. But it's talking about that the sons had said, Ta, you get us engaged whoever you feel is the right one. Says the Braisa, kol achas va'achas tzricha chamisha gitin. Now, So he accepted Kedushin for one of his daughters to one of his sons. Now, but you don't know which is which. So says the Braisa, each and every one of those five girls needs to have five gittin from each one of those boys because you don't know who she's engaged to. And you don't know which girl is engaged to which guy. And therefore, each one of them needs five gittin from each one of those boys. Now, Mace Echemhem, let's say one of those brothers ends up dying. Each one of those girls, tzricha arba gittin, so now they need four gittin, not five, because one of them died. But v'chalitza me'achanhem, each one of those girls are going to require chalitza, at least from one of the brothers, because maybe that one of those five girls is the one that was engaged to the one who had died, and therefore each one of the brothers has an obligation to do either yibum chalitza, and of course, out of doubt, he can't do yibum, and rather he would be doing chalitza. That's the halacha of the braisa. But one thing that we see is that you have definitely a Kedushin She'en Masurin Labi over here, because you don't know which one of the sons is engaged to which one of these girls. Each one could be Achis Ishta, it could be Eshes Achiv. You have all these arayas that are problematic, and still we see that it's requiring Gittin for all those situations. So you see that even though it's a Kedushin She'en Masurin Labi, it is considered Kedushin. Now, the Gemara responds. Now, Bechitame, if you're going to say, as the Gemara had answered the last few questions by saying, Hachanami here also is Kishahukru Lubsoif Nisarvu. No. When the fathers did the Kedushin with one of the sons to one of the daughters, they knew which one of the sons was engaged to one of the daughters. But then they later forgot. Was it the one that you said was Chaim? Was it Rivka? They can't remember now which one it is. And that's why it would be a valid Kedushin, because it was Mr. and Labia. It's just that later they subsequently forgot. And that's why you have to go ahead and do Gittin for each one of those girls with each one of those boys. Another thing more said, you can't give that answer anymore on this riot. Because the words that were said in the Braisa was clearly that each one of the fathers was the one guy that was telling the other one that one of your daughters should be engaged to one of my sons. So they were specifically saying ambiguous wording even then at the time of the Kedushin, which is a Kedushin She'en Masurin Labia, and still we see that it's considered Kedushin to require the Gittin Misafik. So the Gemara, Tiyufta, the Rava Tiyufta, this has refuted the interpretation of Rava. Even if it's a Kedushin She'en Masurin Labia, it's still halachically going to be considered as a Kedushin. And the Hilchos HaKavod say that by the Gemara actually says even more than this, so the halacha follows like Abaya B'yal Kagam, which is a mnemonic and an acronym for six different halachas where there's a dispute between Abaya and a Rava. And although generally the halacha is like Rava, not like Abaya, there are these six exceptions which are illustrated in this Yal Kagam. The Yod stands for a sugi and bab mitziyah of alpha mabez called Yish Shaloi Midas, which is that if the person doesn't know yet, but had he known that this thing was lost, he would have given up hope. Where Abaya holds, and that's the halacha, loy have a yish. It's not considered yish yet because he didn't know. The ayin stands for aid zaimim, when there's a witness who was then shown to be that he was somewhere else and therefore he was saying false testimony. Abaya holds l'mafreyuhu nifsal. It's not just from mikan al-aba, like Rava says that he becomes possible. Actually, whatever he had said from that testimony, he became invalidated, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. The Lamed stands for a lechi, which is a side post by the halachas of Eruv Chatzeres, where you have to have a lechi as a way of showing the differentiation between this Rishus HaYochid and another domain. If it's Eimin Me Elov, if it's standing by itself, meaning it wasn't made to be a Lechi, but it's, let's say, a natural thing that had been there, which is a Machlekes Abayin Rava, if that's considered a Lechi in the Sugya and Erev and Tezvav Met Aleph. The Kuf is referring to Kedushin Shloi Nimstru Labiyah, which is the discussion of our Sugya over here regarding when you made a Kedushin, you gave money, but you didn't know who it is, it can never have led to cohabitation, which again, that's the conclusion we're saying. That's also like Abayi who says it is going to be considered as Kedushin. The Gimel refers to what's called Gilu Daita Begita, where the guy's indicating his displeasure with the get, but he never voided the get. That's the Machlekes Abayin Rava brought in Gittin Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, if that just showing that displeasure, will that void the get or not? And the Mem, which is also like Abayi, is referring to a Mumer, someone that has rebelled from the ways of Judaism, who he eats neveles lahachas, meaning he can eat kosher and non-kosher, and they're just as good, and he purposefully goes out and eats non-kosher. That's also brought there in Perek Zeh Bayir in regards to Machlekes, if that type of person will be kosher to say testimony, edus, in the court of law. That again, the halacha is going to be like Abaya in these six areas, one of the main arasugi here of Yalkagam. Because again, we refuted Abaya from this Rava from this price. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah, where it said, and we had two different interpretations between Abaya and Rava, how to interpret this Mishnah. Now, but the Mishnah said, "Ma'isa b'chamish nashim." There was an incident with five women, and Amar Rav. Rav said, based on this story, "Shmaminam misnit na'arba." You could conclude four different halachas from this story of our Mishnah, but the Gemara tells us, "V'nokid Rav b'yadei tlas." That Rav would only, when he would say over the halachic ramifications from this story, would only say over three of them. But the fourth one, he wouldn't say over as a halachic ramification of what the halacha is. What are the three things that are conclusive halachas from the story of the Mishnah? Well, first of all, Shmamina we can infer is HaMekadosh B'Peir Shviyas, if someone goes ahead and creates a Kedushin with the fruits of the Shemitah year, Mekadoshes, so then the woman's going to be engaged, because that was what the story was. The story was of the five women, which, as the case of the Mishnah, is talking about where one man went and took a basket full of dates, which was actually the women's dates, and it was during a Shemitah year, and he took it and he gave it to one of the women to accept it for all the five women. He said that, and from those five women, two of them were sisters, and he said that you're all going to be engaged to me with these dates, and the Mishnah said that they're engaged to him. Besides the sisters, they're not going to be engaged. So one of the halachas we see is that although that the fruits he had used was Shemitah produce, which you're allowed to eat, that it's still going to create a Kedushin. Now, why would you think he cannot create a Kedushin? Because you would think that it's not really his money. It's Shemitah. Now, everyone, it's Hefker, whoever wants can eat it, but you don't own it, and therefore you wouldn't be able to use it to create a Kedushin. And that's what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, that you see that it was something worth money that was considered his money that he's utilizing to create a Kedushin with these women. Or another approach, Rashi says, you would have thought, the Torah tells you, and the Gemara says this drasha in halacha, that la'achla, you're allowed to eat the peir shviyas, but let's say you're not allowed to use it for commerce and so on, so you would think you can't use it for anything else, and therefore you wouldn't be able to utilize it even to create a kedushin. That's the first chiddush you see in this case of the Mishnah, that you could create a kedushin if it's worth a shavah pruta, these dates, even though they're shemitah produce. Shmamina, second thing we learn from this halacha, is kitsha begezla in mukudashas. If a man engages a woman with something that he stole, he cannot use that to engage her. And that's afila begezli da. Even if it's money that he stole from her, and now he's saying, look, I'll give you back your stuff, but only if you'll accept this thing that I stole from you that's worth a shavah pruta, and to get engaged to me with that. The chiddush in that is that we say that we don't say that, oh, from the fact that she's receiving it, she's obviously agreeing and saying, you know what, fine, you know, you stole it already, I'll consider it yours, and now when you give it to me, and you'll give me back what you stole from me, I'll consider that something of value that you're being Mekadosh me with. From our Mishnah, we see clearly that not. Even if it's something that he stole from her and he gives it back to her, it's not going to create a Kedushin. Mimai, where do you see that from? Mediktani, from the fact that we learned in the way the case, this story of the Mishnah was described, it said two things. It said the dates that this man was using to engage these women was Shalen Shalahen Hoysa. It was actually the women's dates. And Vishal Shviyas Hoysa, it was also a Shemitah year. Now, why was that important? Time of the Shviyas, the only reason why it was a valid Kedushin was because it was a Shemitah year. The Hefker, where no matter whose dates it is, their dates are Hefker, they're ownless. Now, Hadashar Shnei Shavu Aloy, what the inference is had it been a different year of the Shemitah cycle, any one of those other 6 years, then it would not have been a valid Kedushin. Why? Because he would have been taking their stuff And their stuff, even if he steals it and gives it back to them, it's not going to create a kedushin. It's only because he took their stuff during a Shemitah year, when it's hefker. Where again, that's the first halacha we said that a Shemitah produce could be used as a kedushin. And moreover, it's not going to be a problem about theft because it's hefker. But had it not been a Shemitah year, the theft that even that he took from them would not be a kedushin. Ushmaman, and the third halacha we learn from this story, is isha nasa shlich lechaverta, that one woman could become an agent for another woman, even in a situation where, in that agency, she's actually becoming the rival, the co-wife of that other woman that she's receiving the kedushin for. In other words, the chiddush of that is that, although generally regarding, let's say, edus, any testimony that a woman is kasher for, a tzara, a co-wife, is not believed. But regarding a shlichus, we see from this story of the Mishnah that she could do it. Because here, regarding this kedushin, the story was that one of the women received it for the rest of the women, and by receiving that, they're all becoming engaged. She's doing a shlichus for the rest of the women as a shlich l'kabbalah. And as we said, nachris mekachis, all the women besides the sisters got engaged. So you see that even though it's for a tzara, but she can do a shlichus even though it's for a tzara, and therefore all of them become engaged. Now the Gemara is for idach mahi. What's the fourth one? The one that he never would say over for a halacha conclusion, if, as we said, that there are really four conclusions you could have from our Mishnah. The Gemara says it's regarding kedushin she'ein misrun labiyah. Regarding the halacha, when you do a kedushin that cannot lead to cohabitation, if that's considered kedushin or not, that is something where you could learn that out from the halacha of Mishnah, because that was exactly the case of Achayis, of the sisters, where it's not going to lead to bia, and yet Rav didn't say that. Now the Gemara asks, why? B'nachashva. Why didn't Rav count that as a fourth conclusion of halacha? Why do you only count three, but you could infer that kedushin she'ein misrun labia? As we said before, as the halacha is like Abaye, you would conclude that it's going to be a kedushin. And clearly, it's going to be a kedushin, as Abaye had, and that's the discussion we had in the previous stuff regarding what was this case of Maisa B'chamisha Nashim, what halacha was coming to illustrate, which again, Abaye had said it's a different case than the Reisha, that regarding its Toma, that if he wants to be Mekadosh, one of them, that would be Rui Labia. But generally, if you don't specify Rui's Labia, then actually the halacha would be that even this, one of the sisters would be possibly engaged. Because it doesn't have to be Kedushin Misrun Labia. So why doesn't Rav count this as a fourth halacha? I think Gemara says, Mishnah Misafkele, because he was actually in doubt how to learn this story, the Sefer of the Mishnah. Ika Abaye, if like Abaye, again, that we explained in the previous daf, that he learns it's the halacha of the Mishnah talking about in the Reisha regarding marrying a mother and a daughter or two sisters, Bevas Achas, and he's engaging both of them. Which again, so he had inferred from the Reisha regarding his halacha, which again, halacha we passing like, that if you're engaging one of the two sisters, she's going to be engaged, even if you don't specify. So therefore, he had learned the case of the Sefer that the sisters are not going to be engaged. When you specify, it should be Ruiz Labia. But what you could infer from our Mishnah is that Kedushin Shein Misurin Labia would be Kedushin. So yeah, if you learn like Abaye, you could conclude that fourth halacha. But he didn't know if Ikarava, if actually you explained the Mishnah like Rava did, where he explained the case of the Mishnah when in the Reisha, that you didn't actually get engaged to both sisters. Rather, you got engaged to one of the two sisters, Achas Mishte Achayas. And actually, according to Rava, the conclusion would be that you would infer from a Mishnah that Kedushin that's not Mr. in Labia is Loyavi Kedushin, because that's how he learns actually the Reisha of the Mishnah. That's why Rav said, Shema Minom Mesnin Arba. He says, yes, you definitely could conclude four halachas from a Mishnah. Because definitely it's talking about a case, whether according to Abaye and Rava, of the case of a kedushin shalein nimsur labia. Now, the only problem is why he didn't count that as a fourth one is because he didn't know which way to say what you're concluding. Is it because it's going to be kedushin or not? So he knew those three halachas concrete, Shemitah and stealing from them and being a shlich l'chaverta, but regarding the halach of kedushin shalein nimsur labia, he didn't know which way is that going to be concluded. Is it that it is kedushin or that it's not kedushin? Now, the Gemara tells us regarding one of these inferential halachas that Rav learned from the story of the Mishnah, Kisalak Reb Zeru, when Reb Zeru went up to Eretz Yisrael, Amar Lo HaShemaita, he said over this teaching of Rav, which again was inferred from this Mishnah, that if he engages her with theft, she's not going to be engaged, he said over Kamed Reb Yechanan, from Reb Yechanan. Now, Amar Leis, Reb Yechanan said to Reb Zeru, Mi Amar Rav Hachi? Did really Rav say this? Now, the assumption of the Gemara is, when he's saying it in this wonderment, is that because he didn't hold like this, really he said that? Now, the Gemara asked on that, but I mean, Vahu Loi Amar, what, Reb Yechanan didn't say the same thing? That when someone steals something, it's not considered their money, and therefore, seemingly, he should agree to Rav's halacha that if it's not his money, he can't go ahead and engage a woman with that. Because if Amr Reb Yechanan himself said, Gazel v'lenisyar shohabayim. Someone steals something from somebody, and the owners didn't give up hope of ever getting it back. Shneim ein yuchel nahakdish, says Rabbi Yechonon. They both cannot be makdish this to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Zeh lefi she'en eshaloi, the robber, the thief, is because it's not his. V'zeh lefi she'en eshaloi, and the real owner is because it's not in his domain, because someone else has it right now. So neither of them can be makdish. But one thing we see from Rabbi Yechonon is that a thief, it's not considered his own money. That's why he cannot be makdish. So wouldn't he agree to Rav that you cannot be makadish the isha with something that you stole if you don't own it? So nothing more says, no hocha kamalei. This is what Rabbi Yechonon was saying to Rabbi Zeira. Me omer Rav kavasi? Did really Rav say like me? It wasn't asking like, Rav said this, like, he's wrong. No, Rav said this, meaning he said just like me? Because yes, Rabbi Yechonon actually does agree to that halacha of Rav. Now, however, on this halacha that Rav said, and again, as we said, Rabbi Yechonon agrees to this, the Gemara actually asks Meisrei. The Gemara asks him the following brisa. The brisa says, Kitcha begezel. If a man engages a woman with when he's a bandit, when he openly steals money from people, or b'chamis. Chamis is when there's a chamis and there's someone that he actually pays for the thing, but he forcibly makes the guy take the money to take the object. So it's another type of thievery. Or ubegeneva, when he stealthily, when he sneaks and he steals something. Or even if he grabs a coin from her hand and then gives it back to her for kiddushin, says the Braisa Mekudashes that we see from this Braisa, even though with Gezel, even though he stole the money, it will create Kedushin. That contradicts this Rav's Halacha that said that if he's Mekadesh with Gezel, it's not going to be a Kedushin. So that the Gemara says, no, Hasa Megezel Dida. There the Braisa is talking about when he stole money from her, and then he's giving it back to her for Kedushin purposes. There, the Halacha of the Braisa is correct, that since she's okay with it because she's receiving it back from him, she says, you know what, I know you stole it, you can keep it, and then, yes, I'll take it back from you to be Kedushin purposes. Now, the Gemara shortly is going to ask, but we said that Rav's halacha is even when he steals from her and gives it back to her, it's not going to be Kedushin. So how's that answering the question that you're saying it's not just regular thievery, theft, it's actually only when he steals from her, that still shouldn't work either. But that's what the Gemara is answering for now. Now, on that, the Gemara still asks, Had Miktani Sefer, but what do you mean? Look at the end of the Braisa. The Braisa says, Kitcha Begezel B'chamas U'Begneva. Then it says, oy, or shachat of selam mishallah, or if he grabs a coin from her, that all these are going to be, the halacha is that it's going to be mekudeshes. Now, mechlal, the inference is that if that's another case at the end, when he's stealing from her, the reisha, when the reisha is talking about begazel de almaskina, when it's talking about that he's engaging her with something that he stole, must be that he stole from someone else. Because from her, that's the case of the seifa. So how can you say that the case of the reisha that when you're engaging her with something that you stole will be a kedushin only when you stole it from her, because then she's okaying it, but a regular person, you're right, it wouldn't be the person's mammon, but that's the case of the sefer. Another thing where it says, that's not a difficulty. Perusha kamafarish. Yes, it's all one case. The sefer of the mish of the brisa is just explaining the ratio. When the brisa says, kitcha begezla b'chamas u'begneva, that if he's engages her with one of these types of thievery, that we say it's mukadeshes, that's what the brisa explains. Kate said, what is the case? It's only talking about when he did gezel or chamas or geneva from her, he grabbed it away from her and then he gave it back to her for the purpose of kedushin. That's when it's going to be kedushin. But from someone else, you're right, gezel wouldn't work because it's not the person's mammon. Just like Rabbi Yechonon says, you can't be makdish because it's shein ishalai, that's the same thing that would apply regarding the halachas of being makdish a woman. Now, however, as the Gemara continues to Amud Beis, asks the question that we alluded to before. But v'hamas neitin, our Mishnah, is the gezel dida. Is talking about a case when it was theft from her. As we said, shalahan hay. So we said the case was that this bucket of dates that this man went to be mekadesh these five women with was actually those women's dates themselves. And yet, v'kama Rav einu mekudesh, since still Rav says it's not going to create kedushin because that was Rav's deek from the Mishnah. He said that had it not been the Shemitah year, it would not have created kedushin. Yes, in the case of the Mishnah, it did because it was Shemitah year and therefore it was hefker and therefore it wasn't theft. But he said clearly that the inference is, had it not been Shemitah, it would not have been Kedushin, because it was theft. Now, what type of theft? It was theft from them. So you see that even when he steals from the woman and gives it back to her, that's not going to be Kedushin. That contradicts, clearly, the case of the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Loi Kasha, is still not a difficulty. Ha, the Braisa that says that she's going to be engaged, which again, as we said, is only when he steals from her, and then gives it back to her, is talking about the Shadach, that there's already Shaduchim. Which again, in our times, it's what we call being engaged, which is not halachically engaged, but the shidduchim. Now, since he was already prior, they had already proposed to get halachically engaged, therefore she's definitely agreeable to getting engaged to him. When she receives the stuff that he stole from her and he gives it back to her, we say that she's receiving it and he says, I want to use this for Kedushin. She's like, okay, you know what, fine. I let you keep the thing that you stole from me and I'll take it back to you for Kedushin purposes. But ha, Rav's halacha that was inferred from the Mishnah, that's saying that it's not going to be a Kedushin, even when he steals from her, is Delay Shadach. He was never even dated this girl. He stole money from her and he says, oh, I'm going to give it back to you only if we're going to do this for Kedushin. And she takes it back. That's not agreeing to be Kedushin. It doesn't create Kedushin because it's not his money. It's not indicating that she was Meichel and letting him hold on to the money and thus creating a Kedushin because she just wants her money back. Whereas by the case of the Braisa, if he stole from her and they already had Shaduchim and then he says, I'm good to give him it for Kedushin purposes, and then she takes it, that would indicate that she's okay with that because she really wants to get engaged anyway, and that's why that's the case where Gezel from her is going to work as Kedushin. Now, the Gemara continues with a few incidents relating to this halacha that a man cannot be mekadesh a woman with Gezel with somebody that he stole. So the Gemara brings out, it was a certain woman, to have a kamashu kara, she was washing her feet, b'mishichla demaya, in a basin of water. Asahu gava, a man came along, chatav zuzi mechabra, he grabbed away money, coins from his friend, b'shadol, and he threw it to this woman. Amalai, he said to her, mekadeshesli, become engaged to me with these monies. Now, asahu gavla kamei de Rava. Now, this man came in front of the Rava to ask a shayla, is he engaged to this woman? So Rava said to him, les the chash lahadu Reb Shimon. There is no one, a halachic authority, that's concerned for the opinion of Reb Shimon. Dama, that he's the one that says, stam gezela yish bayam hava. Reb Shimon's opinion, as it's brought in Masechtas Kelim Perach Vav, and it's brought this discussion in Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Kavidal Amud Aleph, he holds that in general, when there's gezela is when someone outright steals money from someone else, not geneva, stealthily sneaking and hiding. He goes and he grabs it away. Shimon's opinion is recorded that the owner right away gives up hope. This guy just grabbed it away from me. This is brought in that Mishnah Masechtas Kelim regarding when a ganav, when a thief, takes oiros, hides that he stole from someone, and he has a certain machshava regarding it to consider it a kli that's finished. His machshava is not metamet because it's not his. Whereas a gazlan, if he openly stole it from somebody, then Reb Shimon brings that his machshava is going to be metamet. Now the reason being is because since the person knows who stole it from him and they can't get it back from him because this is obviously a strong-armed type of bandit who takes it right in your face and grabs it away, Reb Shimon says, the guy's meyayish, the owner gave up, it's not his anymore, and therefore it is the thief's things, and his machshava will be a kaveh, will designate it that it could be makabel tuma. So Reb Shimon's the only one that says that stam gezel yishbam, says Rava, but halachically we don't follow like Reb Shimon, and therefore what you stole from this friend of yours, you just grabbed the coins in Mekadesh Teisha, we do not say stam gezel yishbam, he didn't give up hope, it is his money, it was not your money, it was stolen money, and therefore you couldn't be Mekadesh this woman, again as we said, with gezela, and therefore there's no question, there's no kedushin. Similarly, another story, Ahu Arisa. There was a certain sharecropper, which is that he works on the guy's land, and they split the profits because he does the work, and the guy owns the land. So this sharecropper, the Kaddish b'mayzid d'shamche, he engaged a woman with a handful of onions, which was taken from the land of the landowner. So Asla Kamei de Rava came from the Rava to ask him, what's the halacha? Am I engaged to her or not? So Amalei, so Rava said to him, Manachlach, who was meichel to you? Who forgave to you the portion of the homeowner? It's not yours. It's thievery. You took it from the land. You get after the crop is finished, then you can split up, and then you would have parts, and you can be mekadesh with that. But grabbing from these onions and be mekadesh, it's not yours. It's the landowner's, and therefore there's no kedushin because it was kitsha begezel. Now, however, the gemara qualifies v'hanamila b'moitza. That's only if he just took a handful and gave it to the woman. Aval kisha. But if he took a bundle, a ready-made bundle, which that was the custom they would do with their vegetables, their herbs, where they would split up into different bundles, the bundles were always of equal size. If he took a bundle and was mekadesh this woman, that would be a valid kedushin. Because Matzi Amarle, because he could tell the landowner, the balabayis, look, I'm not shakli kisha, it's coming off my cheshbin, because we're going to split the bundles, I took a bundle, shakal at kisha, you take a bundle, kisha ki kisha, the bundles are the same. Now, when you take a handful, I don't know what size onions you took. I don't know anything. You can't just take that. That's theft. But if he took a bundle, fine. I'll mark down so we'll know when we come to split it. You already took one of the bundles, and therefore there would be a halacha of kedushin. Another story, the Gemara brings Hahu Sarsia. There was this person that worked for an owner of land where he made beer. He would take the dates of the balabais, and he would split the profits. He took his dates. He did the work to make it into beer, and then they split the profits of the beer. Now, the Kaddish Bepruma de Shechra, he went and he engaged a woman with these dates after all the juice was squeezed out of it, after you really fermented it and made beer out of it, the leftover dates, he went and took those dates and engaged a woman with it. Now, Asa Mori de Shechra Ashkeche, now, he doesn't own those dates, those leftover dates. The dates are owned by the owner. The beer is where they sell it and they split the profits. But he took one of those leftover dates and gave a woman, says, Haret Mugadeshesli. So when the owner of the beer came along and he figured out, he saw what happened, that he engaged this woman with those leftover dates, Amalei, he said to him, what are you talking about? Miley tastes of my harifa. Why didn't you give her from the good stuff? In other words, you know, there are certain type of dates which are really what's called eskekvets, really squeezed out and there's nothing left anymore. He said, look, you should have given her from those dates which weren't used so much in the process of making beer, and there still would be some moisture that she could use it for something. Why'd you give her? You should have given her from the good stuff. That's what he told this worker who had taken those dates to engage this woman. So Asalka made the Rava. So this guy who made the Kedushin came from the Rava to ask him, is he engaged or not? So Amar Rava said, Loi Amru, they didn't say the halachic dictum of Kalach Etzel Yafis, which is when the homeowner, when the landowner, when the one who owns the object, which was taken and used by someone else, and he says, oh, why'd you do that? You should have gone to the best ones. Whereas we'll shortly see it helps when if someone takes something from the owner without permission, where if he says, oh, you should have taken from the better, where he's obviously revealing that he's okay with what you did, and actually you should have done even more than that. Says Rava, that's El Le'inyan Truma Bilvad. That halacha only applies, as we'll quote, in the halachas of Truma. Because the reason is, a person's produce is ready and is supposed to, and ultimately will have Truma being taken off from it. So when someone does, without the owner's permission, takes off Truma, and he comes and he finds out, and he says, oh, why did you do that? You should have taken from the better. So okay, that will reveal that he was okay with it, because he's saying, you know, you should have even taken better. But regarding somebody to take something for himself, that's not oymit for that. You took from my stuff. So the reason why he would say, oh, why did you take from that? You should have taken from the better. That's only because he's embarrassed. He doesn't want to create a big situation, an issue out of this. But retroactively, we don't say that's revealing that he was okay with it. And therefore, Rav is telling him, he says, no. Even though he's saying, oh, why do you do it? You should take it more. That's because he's embarrassed. But you stole those dates, and that was not a valid kedushin, as we said by the Lachas of Gezel. The time, like, learn a braisa. Ketzed amru tayrim shaloi midas trumasei truma. The braisa says, when did we say and qualify this halacha, that if someone takes of truma from someone else's produce, which he took, let's say, 1/50th, whatever it is that he took, and he takes it and separates it for truma, that it's a valid haramas truma, and even though the owner didn't tell him beforehand. So the case would be, says the Braisa, somebody goes in somebody else's field, v'liket, he gathers, v'tarm, and he separates truma shalebishos, without the owner's permission. Now, says the Braisa, im chayshish mishum gezel, if there's a concern over here of theft, in other words, if the homeowner, it bothers him, he's particular, he's holding a grudge what the guy did, and it's almost like the guy stole from him. So then says the Braisa, of course, ain't truma, say truma. Of course, it's not going to be a valid truma, because it has to be with the homeowner's consent. Now, vimlav, if there's no concern that the homeowner was okay with it, then truma, say truma, then after the fact, it's going to be a valid truma. Now, says the Braisa, u'menayin ho'yideya im choshem shum gezlam lav. How can you figure out if the homeowner, it bothered him or not? In other words, to be that if it's going to be like theft or not. So the Braisa explains, if the homeowner comes afterwards and he finds that some guy separated the truma from his produce, and he tells him, oi, klach etzel yafis, you should have gone to the good stuff. You're taking off truma, giving to the kain. Why did you take the mediocre? You should have gone for the gold. So then says the Braisa, it depends. Im nimtzu yafis mehem, if we find out that there really are better stuff, and he was saying, oh, you should have gone to the better, truma say truma. That shows that he was okay with the guy taking off truma. He's just saying, oh, you could have given even more. Vimla, but if there's actually nothing better, the guy actually took the best stuff for truma, and he was saying, oh, you should have taken from the better, ain't truma say truma. Then actually, the truma that the guy had taken off is not a valid truma. Because what's the guy saying? Oh, you should have taken from the best. The guy did take from the best. Obviously, he was being cynical, and he was saying, you know what? If I would have had something better, you would have stolen that too. You would have taken from my best stuff. So he's really being sarcastic in the way he's saying it. So if there's actually nothing better and he says, oh, you should have taken the better, then actually it's not going to be a valid truma. Now, the Braisa concludes and says, But if Hoya Baila Malaktim Omaisifim, if after this guy didn't, he took off Truma from this homeowner's field without permission, and then the homeowner sees that and he starts gathering himself and starts adding to the Truma, then says the Braisa, then Benkach or Benkach. Then whether if there are actually nicer ones available or there aren't nicer ones available, in either way, it's Truma to Truma. The Truma that the guy had taken is going to be Truma, because obviously you see it's like the landowner is agreeing and he's saying, okay, I'm just adding to what you did. And therefore, after the fact, that guy's Truma is going to be Truma. So says Rava, and concludes this discussion, that's regarding the halachas of Truma. And that's because, really, the guy has to take off Truma anyway. The question is, okay, is he okay with the type of Truma that you did? Aval halacha, but over here, where this guy just went and grabbed away someone's dates, which he has no rights to it at all, and he wasn't really going to give him dates. Mishum ksuvahu da'avad. He's just embarrassed. He doesn't want to make a big issue out of it. So therefore he says, oh, you should have taken nicer ones. He's trying to be nice about it. And therefore it says, Rava, clearly ve'enim ukadashas, because it's straight out theft. You don't say klach etzel yafis that, oh, it means that he's agreeable to it, because that's only by Truma where he would have had to take Truma anyway. We just want to know if he was okay with what was done for it. In contrast over here, where the guy stole, they're saying you should have gone to nicer. He's not agreeing, and therefore it's not going to be a kedushin. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of the last halacha, the previous Mishnah, regarding when you're Mekadosh a woman, you have to have that it's your mamon. That's what we said, one of the diukim of the Shema Menah of the last case of the Mishnah that Ravat said, was that if you're stealing money, which we were just discussing now, from the woman or anyone else, it's not going to be a valid kedushin, because it has to be the person's money. So regarding that halacha, the Mishnah says, a Mekadosh Bechelkei. If there's a kayin that's split from the kachim with his other brother's kahanim that they served in the base of Mikdash, and he gets a portion of a carbon, and he wants to be mekadosh a woman with that, as the Mishnah says, being kach a kachim, whether it's from the holiest of holiest types of karbanas, like a karmachatas, and those which can only be eaten inside the azara, or being kachim kalim, whether it's a lower level, a lighter level kachim, like a karban shlamim that can be eaten in Yerushalayim, either way, ainim mekadoshes. The woman cannot become engaged with this, because it's not the man, the kohen's own money. It's called mamon gebayah. It's Hashem's thing. And Hashem lets you eat it, but you don't own it, and therefore you can't use that as if you're giving money to the woman to engage her, and therefore she's not going to be engaged. Now, the Maisa Sheni, which is that the Maisa Rishon, the first tithe is given to the Levi, the second tithe is then taken up and eaten by the homeowner in Yerushalayim. So regarding if he wants to take the second tithe and be Mekadosh a woman with it, so says the Mishnah, Bein Shagig Bein Mezid, whether he did this by mistake in regards to that it's Maiser Sheni, or whether he did it deliberately, he wants to give her Maiser Sheni to engage her, like Kiddush, it's not going to be a valid Kiddush, and Divrei Reb Meir. Now the reason why Reb Meir holds it's not a valid Kiddush, because Reb Meir holds that Maiser is Mamon Gevayu, although Hashem lets you eat that second tithe, but it's not your own money. You don't own it, Hashem owns it, and therefore, since it's not your money, you're not giving her anything of your own to create a Kiddush, and therefore, whether Shagig or Mezid, it's not a valid Kiddush. Now Reb Yehuda, he disputes this. He says, B'shoigig loy kiddush. If it was done by mistake that he gave it as Maiser Sheni for kedushin to the woman, that's not going to be a kedushin, which the Gemara will explain why. But b'mezid kiddush, he holds that if you do it deliberately, you're taking Maiser Sheni and say, here, you can have this, you can eat it in Yerushalayim, then it's going to create a kedushin, because he holds Maiser is mamon hadyut. It's not owned by Hashem and that he just lets you eat it. It's actually owned by the owner itself, and therefore it is a valid kedushin. Now the Mishnah concludes, u'behekdush, regarding something that's owned by Hekdesh, which is from the Bedek Habayis. So then we have this opposite Machlekes, in which the Gemara will explain this Machlekes. First opinion says, B'mezid Kiddush, if he did it deliberately, he's giving her a thing of Hekdesh to create a Kedushin, it will be a Kedushin. U'b'shogig loy Kiddush, but if he did it by mistake, it's not going to be a Kedushin, Divrei Meir. And Yehudaim, he says the exact opposite. He says, B'shogig Kiddush, if he did it by mistake, it will be a valid Kedushin, but B'mezid loy Kiddush, if he does it deliberately, it's not going to be a valid Kedushin. Now, regarding the first halacha of the Mishnah, our Gemara says, let's say that the halacha of our Mishnah, which one of the two cases that the Mishnah opened up with, which if a kohen wants to be mekadosh a woman with his portion from a carbon, whether kachim kachim or kachim kalim, is not going to be a valid kedushin, which obviously is saying that kachim kalim is not considered his own money, must be the lekabir seglili, not lekabir seglili. The Tana, because as we learned in the Braisa, there's a pasuk in Mayikra that says, it opens up, and this is Perek Hei Pasuk Chafal, it says, Nefesh Kisecha, the person that if he will sin, and as the Gemara quotes the next part of the Pasuk, Umola Mal Bashem, and he will create a Me'ila, a misappropriation in regards to Hashem, which as the Pasuk there says, what halacha is that referring to? It's V'chichesh Ba'misa B'Bekad, and if someone denies to his friend saying, I don't have a deposit that you gave me, regarding touching someone else's thing, a guzla, or theft, or ashak, asamisa, or if he forced someone to give him something, and then he denies it in the court of law, that and he swears, so then there's certain liabilities that come along with that, a carbon, what's called a carbon shvua. You have to give a carbon for that false oath that you took in the court. Now, what's the term of mola mal bashem? What's that terminology coming to include in the pasuk? Says the Braisa, the rabbis kachem kalam, that's coming to include kachem kalam, that's lower level karbanis, that and what that's coming to include them in is that there will be a liability for a carbon shvua. In other words, although generally there's halacha that einish boin alektashis, a person does not take an oath, let's say he denies regarding hektish that he has. Now, moreover, even if he does swear and then he admits that he lied, he does not bring what's called an ashem for a shvuas hapikadon, which that's what the context of this pasuk is talking about, where someone denies having someone else's deposit and he swears about it and ends up admitting to it. So then generally you have to bring a carbon ashem for that oath. By hektish items, you don't have to swear. The reason being is because the pasuk says v'chichish ba'amisai. He denies it to his friend, which says to his friend and not to Hashem. Now, however, kachem kalem is included in the pasuk from the word ba'ashem, where mal mal ba'ashem, what do you mean Hashem? Meaning something of kachem, of a carbon, which is kachem kalem. Now, however, it's also included in v'chichish ba'amisai. Why? Is it la'ashem or is it ba'amisai? Is it your friend's thing you're denying, or is it Hashem's thing? So that's what's unique about kachem kalem shehein memoinoi, because although it is Lashem, it is a carbon, but it's also the owner, the one who's bringing the carbon, he's the owner, and therefore it qualifies both for Lashem and for bamisai divrei b'yisa glili. So we see from b'yisa glili that it considers kachem kalem when someone has a carbon shlomim, for example, which are lower level carbon, that it's considered his money. So therefore he would hold, seemingly, that if someone's Mekadesh a woman with Kachem Kalem, that she would be Mekadeshes, which is not like our Mishnah. So obviously, because our Mishnah says, if he's Mekadesh with Kachem Kalem, she's not Mekadeshes, it's not like Rabbi Yisak Lili. So that the Gemara says, Afilatim Rabbi Yisak Lili. You could say that the Tanah of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yisak Lili. Because Ki Kam Rabbi Yisak Lili, when did Rabbi Yisak Lili say that it's a Kachem Kalem is considered his own mammon, and therefore, if let's say someone denies it, he'll be Chayiv a carbon shvu on that, that's Michayim. That's if the animal's still alive. Then it's the owner of that carbon, it's considered his mammon. But after it was slaughtered, then it's actually not considered his mammon. My time, what's the reason? What would change after the slaughtering? Because kiko zachi, because when the kahanim, when they married in the chaz of a sheik, which the parts of the animal that they get from a carbon, or whether the owner in the rest of the meat, mishulchan gevaya kazachu. At that point, they're only meriting it from Hashem, from the elevated table, because when the emorim are sacrificed on the mizbeach, which is, so to speak, Hashem's table, and the blood was thrown on the Mizbeach, that's the procedure in Halacha that permits the meat to be eaten. That's because it's only when you're getting the Shiraim, so to speak, from Hashem, that's how you merit it. So therefore, basically, we would agree to the Halacha of our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah is talking about the Kohen who gets the leftovers, or even the owner, whether it be Yisrael, who has his portion of the Kachem Kalem, that basically would agree that that's considered Mammon Gevaya, you just have the rights to eat it, and it's not your own Mammon. He was saying it's considered your own Mammon when it's still alive, before it's brought on Hashem's table. And the Gemara says, actually, Dekenami Dektani. A precise reading of our Mishnah indicates this, because the Mishnah said, HaMekadosh Bechelkai. When the man wants to be Mekadosh a woman with his portion, which sounds like after it was split up, Bein kachi kachim or bein kachim kalim, whether the kachi kachim or the lower level kachim, that the Mishnah says loy kiddush, then it's not going to create a kedushin. It doesn't say if someone's mekadesh with kachim kalim, it's not going to create a kedushin. Because if you take it when it's still alive, then could be the Mishnah would agree to basically that it would create a kedushin. Here it's talking about after it was already slaughtered and the carbon was brought, and then the leftovers, that's already mamon gevaya, that's not going to create a kedushin, even according to basically lishma mina. Now continuing on this halacha, the Gemara says, "Tanu rabbanan ulun labraisa, la'acha p'tirasa shel Rav Meir." After Rav Meir passed away, Amlem Rabbi Yehuda l'tamidim. So Rabbi Yehuda said to his students, "Al yikansu tamid Rav Meir l'kan." Don't let the students of Rav Meir who don't have a rebbe anymore and they might want to come here. Don't let them hear, because m'mnesha kanta ranim him. Because they're people that they provoke, they instigate. V'loy l'matayr him ba'im. They're not coming to learn Torah. Ela l'kafcheni ba'halachas him ba'im. They're coming just to the metaphorically, to cut off my legs with halacha, just they want to show how sharp they are and that no one can stand up to them in learning, but they're not really coming to receive from me and to learn from me. They're just coming to show that and best me in halacha. So don't let them in. However, in spite of that, the Gemara tells us, Dachik Sumchas v'nichnas. Sumchas, one of the great Talmidim of Reb Meir, pushed his way in, and he came in to Reb Yehuda's study hall. Amalahem, and Sumchas said to them, Kach shana li Reb Meir, this is what Reb Meir taught me, which is the halacha of our Mishnah. Hamakadosh bechalkoi, if a kohen is makadosh a woman with his portion, bein kachim kachim, bein kachim kalim, whether from like a chatas and the asham, which is a kachim kachim, or like a korban shlom is a kachim kalim, like kiddush, the woman is not going to be engaged, which again, as we said, because it's mama gevaya. But kosh Rabbi Yehuda aleim, Rabbi Yehuda got upset at his students. Amalehem, he said to them, loy kach amarti lechem, didn't I tell you, al yikonsu mitamid remeir lekan, don't let in the students remeir over here, v'nei shekan to run him because they just want to provoke. They're not coming to learn Torah. They're just coming to knock me with halacha. Because, very simply, what is a woman doing in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash? In other words, one of the cases that Sumcha said to Rabbi Yehuda was that if the Kohen wants to be Mekadosh a woman, with Kachay Kachim. How does Rabbi Yehuda say, how could that case is not even feasible? Because if you take Kachim Kachim out of the Azara, even into the Ezra's Nashim, that's not considered from the Azara, which is, there's a few parts of the courtyards, and that's already considered that it will be possible, what's called Psul Yaitze, it's not allowed to go into the Ezra's Nashim. And since the Kachim Kachim can't come out to where women are, the women actually are not allowed to come into the Azara themselves, as it's brought in the Mishnah in Aves HaTumis in the first Perkim Sechtes Kalim. So the case is not even feasible. Why? This is all just to bother me. Because a woman cannot be engaged, it wouldn't even happen, the case, with Kachin Kachin, because it can't leave the Azara, and they can't go into the Azara. So Amar Biyasi said, when he saw what was going on, said, Yemru Meir Shachar. People are going to say, Meir passed away, Yehuda cries, Yehuda gets upset, and Yasi Shasak, and Yasi silent. And Divri Torah, Matahela, what's going to be with the words of Torah? And Rabbi Yasi says that Rabbi Yehuda's taina is not true. Can't a father receive kedushin for his daughter in the Azara? In other words, yes, if his daughter is a minor or a naira, her father, who's allowed to be in the Azara, could receive it for his daughter. So it is feasible for a woman to get engaged from Kachim Kachim because the father could receive it. Moreover, he says, can't a woman make a shliach, even a man, to receive a kedushin in the Azara? So she could receive the Kachi Kachim from this man who wants to be a Kaddish over Kachi Kachim by sending an agent, a man who could receive it. Moreover, says Rabbi Yasi, Dachka v'nichnas amai. What would be the halacha if, yes, she's not allowed to go into the Azara, but she violates and she pushes her way in and she comes into the Azara? Wouldn't, says Rabbi Yasi, wouldn't we have to ask the question in the Beis HaMedrash to say what would the halacha be if she does go in and he's Mekadosh her with it, if that's going to be Kiddushin or not? And therefore, Rabbi Yasi says there's three viable options how the case would be conceptualized and feasible, and therefore it's not an inappropriate halacha that Simchas was saying over in the name of Reb Meir. Now, however, the Gemara does tell us that Tanya learned in the Braisa that actually there's a dispute regarding this halacha, meaning in the previous discussion, Rabbi Yehuda was saying that it's not even feasible. Rabbi Yasi proved that it is, but halachically, the Gemara brings that Tanya learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mikudashis. That, okay, fine, even if it is feasible, but he disagrees with this halacha of Sumchas in the name of Reb Meir, with the halacha of the Mishnah, and he says that actually that if a kohen would engage a woman with kachim, she would be engaged. And Reb Yasi, I mean, in the Mekadesh, Reb Yasi says, as he explained that case of Sumchas of the name of Reb Meir, which is like the halacha of our Mishnah, which she's not going to be engaged. Now, Amar Reb Yechon, and he said, Vishnei Mikra Echadarsha, actually both Reb Yehuda and Reb Yasi are actually coming from the same pasuk for opposite halachas. The pasuk is in Bamidbar that says, "V'zeyi l'cha," that this should be for you, "mikodesh hakodeshim in the age," from the holiest of holiest, from the fire, which is that the kahanim get their portions, the bnei Aharon, they eat the parts leftovers from the karbanis. Now, Rabbi Yehuda savar l'cha, Rabbi Yehuda interprets when it says that this should be for you, it means l'chol tzarchecha, for all your needs, meaning even to be mikodesh ha'isher with, and that's why he held that a woman would be engaged with it. Rabbi Yehuda savar ke'esh, Rabbi Yehuda says no. The portion of Aaron and his children are equated there in the pasuk to the portions that the Mizbeach gets, which is what's put on the fire in the Mizbeach. Because that's what it says, l'cha, from the fire. So we're comparing the two. Ma'esh l'achila, just like what was put on the Mizbeach on the fire was to be consumed, afhu name l'achila. So over here, by him, regarding the Bnei Aharon, it's also only being given for him to be consumed, to eat it, but not l'davar achar, not to be used for kedushin, and that's why Rabbi Yasi held, like the halacha of our Mishnah, like Reb Meir, that if a kohen is mekadesh a woman with kachim, it's not his money, it's mamon gevaya, it's only being given to him to eat, and therefore he cannot create a kedushin with this kachim, whether kachim kachim or kachim kalim.